In our industry, there are few things more beautiful than a perfect pairing. Yelp Guest Manager has officially integrated with Reserve with Google, creating the largest consumer network in the U.S. Leverage Yelp Guest Manager to offer reservations, next-gen waitlist, and take out to 64 million more consumers than OpenTable. To supercharge your restaurant's marketing and operations, visit restaurants.yelp.com today. Comscore Media Metrics, based on Yelp Guest Manager, Reserve with Google, and OpenTable monthly average number of visitors in the U.S. 2022. Now here we go.
We're going to look back 10 years from now and just really see a major shift. Businesses transitioning. I think a lot of that is people are waking up and they're seeing the risk that are so the environmental risk that are associated with businesses on the long-term scale. But I also feel the younger generations, the millennials and the Gen Z cohorts, are really, really pushing this. They want to buy from companies that are driven by their values, and they want to work for companies that are value-driven and lead from those values. And I think that that's a piece that is quickly changing the industry and the business world as a whole.
Welcome to Full Comp, a show offering insight into the hospitality industry, featuring restaurateurs, thought leaders, and innovators. Served up on the house. Snooze is a breakfast joint like many others, but with a few key exceptions. Today's guest is Clint Hewitt, and he's one of those exceptions. Clint is Snooze's Director of Impact, and he works to strengthen the bond between Snooze, its team, and its community. I think that most of us take the entrepreneurial leap to create a greater impact in the lives of others. And today, we sit down with a subject matter expert to learn how to maximize those efforts.
I've always been passionate around food and feeding people, and food is one of my favorite art forms. I think it touches all five senses and something that I've always been really passionate about. My first job in high school was at a local pizzeria down the street. Ended up becoming the kitchen manager of that restaurant by the time I was a senior in high school. Continued to work there throughout college and then continued to move more into fine dining and other restaurant experience. Worked all the way through college, put myself through college in the restaurant industry. And just really loved it. I loved being connected to the community, the people, the atmosphere, the fast pace, all those elements of it. But as I continued to grow my career, I wanted to stretch my wings a little bit. And that's where I ended up opening up my own catering company. We ran that for about 4 years, me and a business partner of mine, Andy Holly. And then when the housing crisis happened in 2008, 2009, that kind of took a hit to our business. And we looked at pivoting and trying different things, but inevitably we decided to go separate directions. And that's where I went back into the managing restaurants, managed a little local vegetarian cafe in Santa Cruz, California called Saturn Cafe. Really great, fun experience there. Just quirky, fun atmosphere that was very connected to the community as well. But as I continued to get older and I was getting pretty serious with my girlfriend at the time, but now my wife, and as many people in the industry, the consistent nights and weekends and never being around on holidays and all those elements started to kind of wear on my personal life. And I was kind of really wanting to continue to advance my career and wanted a little bit more control around the time I could spend with my friends and family. And that's when I went into produce. And so still connected to food. I was there with Awesome Organics for about 8 years, which I also thoroughly enjoyed and loved to see that different side of our food system and the logistics around it and what it takes to get our food from point A to point B, which is pretty mind-blowing when you kind of pull behind that curtain and kind of look underneath that curtain. But yeah, similarly there, I kind of continued to grow with that organization for a while. And I was actually on vacation in Chicago to see a concert and randomly ran across the job posting for Snooze. And it really kind of spoke to me. And I was like, wow, like this is a dream job for me. And kind of what I had initially went back to get my master's degree in sustainability, that I was kind of wanting to go that direction and kind of really land a job that could really make an impact in the world and kind of really show this evolving new way of business, that this paradigm shift that we're under, that could really create a new way of business and adding conscious elements into capitalism, where we're looking to build up our communities and kind of be part of them and work towards saving our planet, because businesses tend to pillage it at all cost. And there was this perfect alignment of my past experience, my passions around a sustainable, healthy food system and an opportunity to really step into a position that I had autonomy to grow in a way that I felt fit and kind of pull in all of those elements together. And I've really enjoyed it. I really appreciate being in the restaurant industry and what all comes with that. But being on the corporate side of things, I still have the nights and weekends and holidays, and I'm able to kind of create a little bit more of a work-life balance in that sense, but still love being part of the fast-paced connection that does kind of come with the restaurant industry. Does that answer your question?
It does.
Okay, cool.
So I guess one, how was the role pitched to you, this role of director of impact? And then how would you define the position?
It definitely sparks some confusion if you're not living in the sustainability world or kind of that environmental social governance space. But yeah, so the job was pitched to me when I was researching the company, going through the interview process and getting prepared for that. It quickly came out that Snooze was a company that cared, right? They were very driven by their values, what they call internally their compass, and kind of eight core values. And two of those being community and sustainability. So environmental impact and social impact is kind of the lens that they were looking at. And through that exploration, I had realized that through the pandemic, they had many restaurants furloughed, a lot of kind of went down to a bare bones operations. And then now they're building back up from that. And so they had originally had a sustainability manager and a community manager that kind of operated in silos. And though there was cross-functionality, those particular roles did operate separately. And so how it was pitched to me was that they're looking to merge those roles into a collaborative impact space and kind of creating a situation where they're bringing in all of those elements into a new evolving a space that could manage their entire ESG portfolio and kind of what they're doing to have positive impact on the world.
ESG, what is that for those that don't know?
Yeah, so environmental social governance, it's definitely a big hot top debated topic today in the investment world. It's kind of an evolution of terms. We've like to have heard of corporate social responsibility or CSR, and that's more of like the philanthropic aspect of it, or I'm sorry, philosophical aspects of businesses and how they can be involved in those spaces and be more proactive of being a positive impact on their stakeholders. And so ESG is an evolution of that, where it's really kind of getting into how do you quantify those? How do you quantify hard to quantify measures of intrinsic value that comes with taking care of your employees or being part of the community they operate in or supporting a sustainable agricultural system that's not bound to fail or create additional issues of environmental concerns. And so ESG is a way to attempt to quantify the intrinsic value that comes from being a mission-driven organization.
Yeah. And job security. So, I mean, we exist in an industry where there's small margins, right? Stuff is always coming up. It seems like a nice to have, right? I think that even though it is evolving into a need to have, especially as it relates to our patrons and the brands that they choose to support, this was a big pivot for you. And so was there any concern going into it that this would be a nice to have role that would be poorly funded and eventually fall out?
Yeah, a very, very good question. And you're right. I mean, the restaurant industry works on razor-thin margins in every aspect of it. They're constantly chasing, putting out fires, just working on the next thing around the corner that's going to flip their business upside down and the next challenge is there. I mean, most restaurants, especially within the casual dining space, some kind of environmental role around sustainability is a nice to have. And most companies don't think about it. But for companies like Snooze, it really is part of their ethos. This is a role that is super important to that organization. And I think our owners, our board, our executive team really does feel that this is a huge part of what makes Snooze special. It is an extremely unique brand. And I think that there's definitely a connection that comes to the way we show up for our planet and for our people. And so in that sense, I do think that this is a role that is secure with Snooze. In the restaurant industry, I think it is a role that will continue to grow. Outside the restaurant industry, I think there's a tremendous amount of job security in this role. I think we are realizing, kind of like you said, we kind of have to evolve this. And I think we are in the beginning stages of a major paradigm shift within the business world. And I think we're going to look back 10 years from now and just really see a major shift, businesses transitioning. I think a lot of that is people are waking up and they're seeing the risks that are the environmental risks that are associated with businesses on the long-term scale. But I also feel the younger generations, the millennials and the Gen Z cohorts, are really, really pushing this. They want to buy from companies that are driven by their values, and they want to work for companies that are value-driven and lead from those values. And I think that that's a piece that is quickly changing the industry and the business world as a whole. To really kind of look beyond next quarter and really look at the long-term implications. And if we continue to see mega droughts, extreme weather events, like our food system, our energy grid, these things are all threatened. And so I think businesses are starting to really understand that they need to mitigate risk and they need to build towards adaptation when it comes to long-term viability of their organizations. And I think that the ones that are looking at that now are going to be the successful leaders in the future. And those that aren't are going to be scrambling to catch up. And that's the way I personally see it. And so I think there is job security, but I think that it is a very unique time and a little bit of the Wild West in some sense of people trying to figure it all out.
So I think that a lot of the people listening are like, Clint, that sounds like a really interesting job and you're well spoken. So I'm sure you're well paid. What do you do every day? How does the job manifest? I'm sure in 1,000 different ways, but if you were to sell the position to someone else, you would say, this is what your day-to-day looks like.
Right, totally. In a growing organization and a department that is an extra department that many competitors don't have, you know, so that extra expense being there, my role is very much both strategic, long-term vision planning, as well as in the weeds on the day-to-day. And so I think a lot of what we're working on right now is kind of really solidifying a long-term vision and creating that roadmap to 2030 and getting buy-in from our executive team and really working to break down those barriers between departments. Because I think one thing that we tend to see with sustainability is that it's a sidearm of an organization. And when that is the case, I think most businesses end up it being more of a marketing element of the organization, which is great. People need to hear about the good things that their businesses are doing. But for sustainability to really be successful in an organization, it needs to be integrated across the entire organization. And so that's a large part of the work that I'm doing right now is to come from a thought leadership perspective and really educate our leaders that are excellent in the roles that they do, but starting to evolve the way they're thinking about what they do in a way that integrates a sustainable mindset in that long-term vision planning. So that's one aspect of my job. And the other part is the day in and day out. One of the biggest things restaurants can do to reduce environmental impact is to reduce food waste. Food waste produces a lot of greenhouse gases in the form of methane. And that's an area of my job that takes up a lot of my time is working with our restaurants. Restaurants produce a lot of waste, but we work really hard to manage three different waste streams, whether that's landfill, recycling, or compost or organic recycling. And so I do a lot of work around that currently, or at least this last year, really trying to work and develop training programs, educational pieces on why this is so important, and to continue to improve our operations in that sense. So it makes it easy to follow and easy to manage. And then outside of that, another major part of the day-to-day with me and Snooze is our community engagement. I work closely with Shelly Harvey, who is our community engagement manager and the second member of our impact team. So she focuses mostly on community, but there's a lot of work that we do collectively on getting Snooze out in the community and engaged and involved with being part of the community. So some examples there and some struggles that we've seen is with the pandemic, many nonprofits were running on skeleton crews. They weren't doing a lot of events due to social distancing. And a lot of that muscle memory was lost with our organization as we brought on a lot of new people. And so over this last year, we've been working to find ways in which we can make it easy for our managers to get out and get active in their restaurant. And so a big part of that is we have a program that we call our Changemaker program, which involves each restaurant has at least one change maker. And essentially, it is a passion role around sustainability and community. And so we've been working really closely with our restaurant change makers and continuing to evolve that program, which allows them to be the liaison within their particular restaurant to get out and be active in their community. And so whether that's managing their philanthropy budget or the community give back, or organizing food drops for first responders, or helping local nonprofits that have a similar cause to raise money and kind of show up in support in that way.
I love the Changemaker program. And if you could do me a favor, I'd like you to talk to me about the genesis of that program and what the initial rollout looks like, because I think it's something we'd all like to have in our restaurants.
Yeah, you're great. So as I mentioned earlier, there were the kind of two departments, community and sustainability, being separate. And at one point we had two roles in the restaurant. And again, these are additional roles that people sign up for. It's not like we have a full-time change maker. But initially, we had a green captain, which was more the sustainability-focused individual. And then we had a community commander, which was our community outreach person. And so over time, that role ended up being merged into our change maker program. And so that was coming together before my time with Snooze and was just being launched in the late 2019 and early 2020. And then with the pandemic and all the changes there, that kind of really disrupted that rollout. And so when I joined the team in October of 21, that was definitely, I was tasked with kind of reinvigorating that program and getting that rolled out. And so we're still working through a lot of the advances of that and how it really, we continue to evolve that one. I think that'll always be a continuous improvement kind of platform. But what we worked closely with was talking with our managers and finding out what their needs were and how that looked like and how we might be able to shape the program to create that. And one of the biggest things that we were really focusing on at Snooze and have been is creating a career development path, right? And we believe deeply in investing in our Snoozers, as we call them, and creating that funnel and pipeline for development. And so that was one of the things that we really heard about. And so we wanted to implement those elements into the Changemaker program. And if we have, whether that is a host, a dishwasher, a barista, but someone who is joining our organization that is passionate about our values, that's someone who we would like to put in that leadership pipeline. And so we work to kind of build structure with that program that creates guidance and structure for that individual to know how to continue to grow those skills. And for example, creating informational packets and training around how do you pick a community partner or a nonprofit in your community that you can continue to work with, creating trainings around their budgeting. So each restaurant has their own, what we call a be a good neighbor budget, and getting those reports out, figuring out how we're going to account for each restaurant's budget and where they are, and then working with our regional managers and our GMs to make sure that we're leveraging those dollars and getting them out into the community where they can be helpful. And we've seen a lot of success there. We rolled out a new dashboard last year that we're updating monthly that shows where the restaurants are with different environmental and social metrics. So the Be a Good Neighbor Fund is one of them. Another element that we really work to look at is waste diversion and kind of where restaurants are sitting there. And that varies quite differently between markets. And also just educating around waste diversion, because that's definitely a big piece of it. It can be very confusing for a lot of people. We have a lot of Snoozers that have multiple jobs, and especially in our heart of house, there is a hard muscle memory to break where we have a lot of people that work other jobs and don't compost to those other restaurants. And so when we're slammed with a 2-hour wait on a Saturday for brunch, how do we create an environment that makes it easy for people to get behind waste diversion and making that part of their job easy and as effective as possible? So another big part of that rollout was we did an audit last year where we went through all of our different markets and confirmed which items go in which of our three waste streams and updated our posters and training materials around that. And then we're still working on how do we continue to foolproof that and make it as easy as possible for our restaurants to focus on waste diversion as well.
I want to talk about return on investment, because it's come up a couple of times already in the conversation. When you're working on razor thin margins, the easiest ROI is money out versus money in. But the industry is more complicated than it's ever been, and that perspective needs to evolve. So high level, and then kind of granularly as well, what is Snooze's perspective and your perspective on return on investment? How do you look at it high level, and then how does it manifest in these initiatives?
I think a lot of the value and the return that comes out of this environmental and social lens of how businesses show up is hard to quantify. And it's something that we are are continuing to evaluate how do we quantify those numbers. And one of the things that we often see a lot is a talk around retention. You know, we had this mass resignation. The restaurant industry was one of the industries hit the hardest in that, where a lot of people did leave and chose not to come back. And so I think that we hear often from our snoozers that they came to our organization because of our values and what we do. And I think that we all know that turnover can cost businesses lots of money. It's expensive to train people. It's expensive to find the right people. And so that is one area in which I think that we get a lot of return on, is having a higher retention rate than a lot of other competitors and folks in the industry. We're still working on how do we really quantify that and get those metrics into the hands of our managers and identify the ones and celebrate the restaurants that are doing really well in that space. And then how do we teach some of those good practices to the ones that could use some improvement. But I think building good, strong foundation of passionate employees really does come back to, you know, we hear often around, you have a happy employee serving a table, they're going to give much better customer service than someone who's disgruntled or just burnt out and stressed. And so I think that there's a lot of return in that aspect of it, of building a collaborative, fun, engaged workforce. Something we put a lot of energy into. Another element is, I think, return back to the concept around long-term investment. I think we are continuing to see high increases on utility costs, especially gas and energy. And that's something that is expected to continue. And so by focusing on and investing now in energy-efficient appliances and equipment, that is going to really help set us up for success long-term as we continue to see the rise in utility cost. And then the last area, I think that's kind of, or not the last, but another one I wouldn't mind speaking to, is kind of around sourcing. Because I think that's an area where we do have very high sourcing standards, and that creates challenges for us sometimes when it comes to that return, right? We do spend more for our ingredients than most other restaurants. But I think where that return comes into is the flavor of our food and the uniqueness of it, which does really, from interviews and surveys that we've conducted, that is a large reason why people are willing to wait an hour and a half for brunch because of our food and how good it tastes. And I think a lot of that comes from our sourced ingredients and having really clean label products, though it might not be on the front of the mind of every one of our guests. I think it is something that does come through when they eat our food.
I want to talk about your scientific method. So again, back to the razor thin margins. You're serving a new role in a new way, trying to do new things. So a lot of it is, right, hypothesis testing. We want to roll out this initiative. This is the expected result. We need to test it. What efficiencies have you figured out along the way? How have you optimized the testing process to figure out what will work and what won't?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I personally am a person that believes heavily in data. And I think that using data to make sound business decisions is super important. It's something that I think a lot of times the restaurant industry isn't as focused on as much as, or not as leveraged as much as I think it could be. And I think that's really hard for smaller restaurants, but for larger ones, I feel like it's even more important. But yeah, so we're working on that. And I think we have a lot of blind spots right now when it comes to managing efficiency. And a lot of that has to do with the restaurant industry and the fact that we lease a lot of our buildings versus own them. And so when we have certain services that are landlord provided versus we manage directly, whether that's waste services or utility bills, we have some blind spots there. So that's a current project that we're working on to round that out so that we can really have a pancake to pancake comparison from restaurant to restaurant on those metrics. And so we are shifting that culture from an impact perspective to be more data driven and based on the science and on the data. As far as testing hypothesis, we're big on pilots, whether that's from a proof of ops or just a proof of concept or just making sure that it's going to work for a restaurant. We tend to isolate a few key restaurants that are diversified, not necessarily all in one region. Sometimes we like to split them up so we can get a good comparison because Colorado is different than Arizona and so forth. But yeah, we typically go through a pilot process where we will test and vet a certain process and then make improvements before rolling out nationally. So that's one of our main processes there. And then, for example, we're currently looking at high efficiency conveyor dishwashing machines. And The pitch from the company is around how much water we're going to save and the efficiency there. But we're looking to test that one. But it's a hard one to do when you're just looking at the regular water meter. And so we're actually going to be installing a separate meter that goes directly into the dishwasher machine. We're going to track that for 3 months, make that assessment, and then put in the new machines and run that for 3 months and really quantify how much water is it saving, and then build that out over our portfolio of restaurants and kind of look at annual savings to make those kind of assessments and judgments there as well. So that's the kind of places that we're continuing to move into and making sure that we have the data at our fingertips so we can make sound decisions.
You know, Snooze has this opportunity just due to economies of scale to do things that a lot of small independents can't, which I'm sure has made it somewhat easier for you to roll out some of these initiatives. But for the independent single unit operators that are listening today, what are some of the things you've rolled out that they could steal?
Yeah, I think elements of the Changemaker program are great. And I personally just kind of want to back up a second. And I feel that from my perspective, I think it's going to take a village to make the change that we need to see in the world. And I think that it's important for businesses to understand that when it comes to this kind of work. And a phrase that I like to often say is there's no trade secrets when it comes to saving the world. I think that we have to collectively work together. And so I'm happy to speak to that. And I hope that some of the words that I say today do resonate with those, whether it's an independent restaurant or a large national chain, because it's going to take a collective. So, but I think the Changemaker program or something of its essence is something that I think a lot of restaurants can pull from, because I would argue to say that almost every restaurant has individuals within there that are super passionate about sustainability or being engaged in their community. And I think that identifying that person and getting them a voice within your restaurant and an opportunity to build up their leadership and spread that passion amongst their team is super important. I also think that leading from a heartfelt place and really working to, the restaurant industry is known for sometimes being a little toxic. We're stressed out, we're busy. There's a lot of reality shows that highlight this. But I also know that it's an industry that's a lot of people that are very passionate and really care a lot about what they're doing. And we're seeing this massive movement in farm-to-table restaurants and people that are restaurants that are way more connected to their food sources. And so I say continue to speak about that and educate your people about what you're doing and why it makes a difference, and try to create opportunities for individuals in your restaurant that are passionate to be able to leverage that and give them an opportunity to lead from there. And I also think getting out and active in your community is super important, no matter what the size of a restaurant you are. Whether that's being engaged in your local chamber of commerce or finding a community garden to be active and involved in, I think just getting out in your community, for one, it's just the right thing to do. But it also, there's return in that as well. I think there is, when you're front of mind and active in your community, when people think about going out to eat, they're going to think of you. I think that's a great way for every restaurant to get engaged. And we're a big supporter of community gardens. We sponsor a handful of them at Snooze. I think it's something we're continuing to try to build. But I think that's a great way to get out and get engaged in your community.
And I think it brings up a great point, which leads me to the next question, which is back to the razor thin margins. Some things cost money, but some things just cost time and bandwidth. So when you look at the scope of your latest career iteration at Snooze, how much of what you've done is implemented through money, and how much of it just really comes down to time and effort and bandwidth?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent question. And yes, I definitely, you often hear about the financial piece of it. But no, I think you're right. I think a lot of things really is just around bandwidth. And I think, you know, one of our mottos at Snooze since inception is it only takes a moment to make a difference. And that's a huge focus at Snooze. And I think that that's very true. But when it comes to building that part of culture into your restaurant or your business, a lot of times things do just take passion and bandwidth. You know, I think a lot of things you can do don't cost money at all. I think that, let's talk waste services, for example. A lot of it's transitional costs, right? So say you're spending X amount of dollars for a dumpster. If you bring on composting and recycling services and do a good job diverting that waste, yes, there's additional costs that are associated with that, but if you do it correctly, you can reduce your landfill services to kind of counteract some of those additional costs. So I think a lot of it is looking for, I spend here, but I save there. That's a big part of it. And then when it comes to just the bandwidth piece, I think it's, we often hear we don't have enough time, but I think that's a false mentality often. I think it's a matter of making time. if you're in a restaurant and you're slammed and a water pipe breaks, you're going to find time to get that fixed, right? And deal with that issue in that moment. And though we don't want to always be putting out those fires, it's what you put priority in. And so I think that when it comes to finding that bandwidth within your restaurant, I think it's a matter of looking for those time of days that are maybe a little bit slower, or how do you factor that into your work week? I think if you put something on the schedule, okay, I'm going to spend this hour developing this individual, or this hour making phone calls to reach out to nonprofits in the area that we might be able to partner with, or whatever that might be. It's a matter of just kind of penciling it in and really just kind of dedicating that time to it. Because at the end of the day, what needs to get done will get done. And I know many restaurateurs, I mean, we're working 60, 70, 80 hours a week, but it's a matter of what you put attention to is what gets focused on.
The restaurant industry is filled with these unspoken rules and traditions about how things should be done. How would you like to see our industry turn the tables to create a better future for all of us?
Wonderful question. And yes, very, very true. I think the restaurant industry is slow to change. You look at the consumer packaged good industry, which is also a food sector business. They've embraced this change rapidly. I think you're seeing a lot of massive switches over to responsible packaging and more organic or non-GMO or these more clean label, healthier foods. And I think the restaurant industry is a little slow to catch on to that wave. And I think that that's important to be looking at our food system because it has major implications of the world. When you think about climate change and you hear about the effects it's going to have on our climate and global warming and different effects, you often hear about the energy sector, which counts for about 25% of all greenhouse gases. What you often don't hear about is agriculture and land. And the greenhouse gases that come out of that industry is about 24%. So it almost rivals the energy sector. I would like to ask, and a call to action for our restaurateurs out there, is to dive deeper into our food system. Learn where your food comes from. I've heard time and time again of chefs that they place an order and it comes in, they stock their shelves and they cook it the next day. But when they take a time to go out to a farm or to go to a feedlot, it's going to drastically change your perception of our food. And so I would encourage to ask our restaurateurs to do some team building. Try to find a local farm to bring some of your employees out to, or find out where your beef is coming from and go visit that farm if you can. I know that's not always easy, especially for the smaller restaurants, but I think go to your local farmer's market, talk to the farmers in the area, find out what they're doing, because it's really eye-opening. And I think that our traditional way of factory farming is causing a lot of our problems with climate change, where if it is switched to a more regenerative space, it can be part of the solution. And so, yeah, educating yourself around our food systems, I think could really, really help wake a lot of people up to see the reality and to facilitate some change.
Our industry suffers from razor-thin margins, and the only way for us to ensure profitability is to make data-driven decisions. The numbers don't lie, and Yelp for Restaurants just released some incredibly compelling numbers. For starters, Yelp reaches 9 times more customers online than OpenTable. And when restaurants pair that level of visibility with Guest Manager and Yelp ads, they experience up to an 8% lift in diner bookings. Think about what that 8% lift could do for your restaurant's finances. To learn more about how Yelp for Restaurants can support your business, visit restaurants.yelp.com to learn more today. That's Clint Huey. For more information on Snooze and their programs, visit snoozeatery.com. If you want to tell us your story, hear previous episodes, or check out our other content, go to restaurants.yelp.com/full comp. Thank you so much for listening to the show. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. While you're there, please leave us a review. A special thanks to Yelp for helping us spread the word to the whole hospitality community. I'm Josh Copel. You've been listening to Full Comp.